Why is it important to control your thought life? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
It is not only a matter of what you think about, but how you think about these things. Now, if you're with your child and something bombards you like that, then what you do is take the Word of God and say, sweetheart, what does God's Word say about that? How do we see that? You see, we discern it from a different viewpoint. Never willingly bring your mind anything like that. But when you have to face something like that, still you're facing that through the lens of God's Word.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring the profound biblical teaching of pastor and author Adrian Rogers, who said, "You cannot separate the Word of God from the God of that Word." It's only when we study Scripture for what it is and live our lives according to what it says that we'll learn how to do what today's message is all about, and that is how to control our thought life. Psalm 119 gives 7 practical steps to that end. And if you have your Bible, turn there now, beginning at verse 9, as Adrian Rogers presents, "Guard Your Heart."
Let me show you what the Word of God will do. Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Now remember, I told you that the thought is the dress rehearsal for the deed. You sow a thought, you reap a deed. Sow a deed, you reap a habit. Sow a habit, you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. It all begins with the thought. Now, James Allen said this, "Good thoughts bear good fruit. Bad thoughts bear bad fruit. And man is his own gardener." You can choose your thoughts like you choose your friends. What you need to do is to put a guard on your mind. When I travel in airports, as you do, you go through a magnometer and they say, empty your pockets, take out the metal, take out the calculators, take this thing, that thing, and you put it in a tray. And you walk through, and you start to go through, and it said, You back up, you put your glasses, your fountain pen, You back up again, take the change out of your heart, out of your pocket. And you put that in the basket. And after a while, you go through. You go through. Now, you need to have something like that at the gate of your mind. There's certain things you just don't let through. As a matter of fact, I've told you before, I'd like one of those over the door, each door as you go out. If there's any sin in your heart, I'll say, come back in, let him preach some more. But not to get the sin out, but to keep the sin out, there's certain things that you just say, I'm not going to let into my mind. For example, let's let some words start with the letter R so you can remember them. How do you put a gate there at your mind? Number one, there's what I want to call the reliance test. Whatsoever things are true. Can you rely on it? Is it true? You see, we have a generation today that doesn't even believe that there is such a thing as absolute truth. We don't ask anymore, is it true? We just ask, does it work? The reliance test. Number two, the respect test. Whatsoever things are honest. Now, the word honest here literally means, in the Greek language, whatsoever things are honorable, worthy of respect. Don't let anything that is dishonorable into your mind. Number three, the rightness test. Whatsoever things are just. The word just here means that which is straight. Don't let any crooked, warped thinking into your mind. And then the reverence test. Whatsoever things are pure. Now the word pure here actually has the idea of free from contamination. It was used of animals. that were ready to be sacrificed. An animal that was contaminated, it would have to be pure. It would have to be without contamination. And it's something that you could use to worship God with. Can you worship God with your thoughts? I mean, with the Lord Jesus Christ looking into your mind, could you say, Lord, that's a thought that I'm happy to entertain with you. That is a pure thought. And then the relationship test, whatsoever things are lovely. That doesn't mean beautiful to look at. That's a combination of two Greek words, which means moving toward love. If it causes you to love, if it moves you to love, if it's lovely, then you think about it. I told you that one of the worst things about pornography is that it is the opposite of love. Love wants to give, lust wants to get. Pornography looks upon people as objects, things to be used rather than persons to be truly loved. So you ask yourself, is this causing me to have an attitude of love toward somebody else? Or is it causing me to look at someone made in the image of God as less than lovable? The refinement test, whatsoever things are of good report. Now that word actually means high tone. You don't have to listen to things that are low tone. Somebody says, well, you know, I just don't know why people tell me these things all the time. Well, I know why. They know they can use your ears for garbage cans. They know they can track their muddy feet on the carpet of your mind. But if it's not high-toned, you don't have to listen to it. And then he says here, as he just sums it up, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, I've often told you something wonderful, something glorious. God made you where you can't think two thoughts at one time. And if you're thinking what is right, you cannot be thinking what is wrong. You cannot not think impure thoughts, because while you're trying not to think impure thoughts, you're thinking about the impure thoughts you're trying not to think about. It's a catch-22. It's a vicious trap. Try not to think about an elephant for a minute, okay? Now, what are you thinking about? You're thinking about the elephant you're trying not to think about. Isn't that right? But you were not thinking about a zebra, because you were thinking about an elephant, right? Right. All right, now, if you're thinking about one thing, you're not thinking about another thing. And you cannot think two thoughts at one time. And if you're thinking about what is right, you cannot be thinking about that which is wrong. No one can think two thoughts at one time. And that's the reason the Bible gives us this list of things that you think about. Well, where are these things found? In the Word of God. You fortify yourself with the Word of God, because when you have the Word of God in you, you're thinking God's thoughts after Him. You say, well, Pastor Rogers, what if I open up the catalog and I see a lingerie ad? What if I'm watching television and all of a sudden a salacious thing comes on? That just bombards my mind. I didn't choose to watch that. What do I do? Do you know the difference between unsaved people and Spirit-filled saved people, the way they look at these things? They see them from a different viewpoint. The minute they're confronted with something like this, then they still think about it in the light of God's Word. Now listen, it is not only a matter of what you think about, but how you think about these things. The Christian mind and the non-Christian mind may think about the same things, but they don't think about the same things the same way. Now, if you're with your child and something bombards you like that, then what you do is take the Word of God and say, sweetheart, what does God's Word say about that? How do we see that? You see, we discern it from a different viewpoint. Never willingly bring your mind anything like that. But when you have to face something like that, still you're facing that through the lens of God's Word. So there's the principle of fortification. Principle number four, there's the principle of vitalization. Vitalization. Ask God to teach you. Look, if you will, in verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Then so what you do, you turn fortification into prayer. You say, now, O God, teach me. You pray. Ask God to put His hand upon you. Facts and memory are not enough, even Bible facts. You cannot separate the Word of God from the God of that Word. And you must pray, O God, make it real in my heart. The Holy Spirit in you will take the Word of God, which is living and alive, and will vitalize it to you. There was a man who was a new Christian. He was being mentored by another man named Charlie. And Charlie was his Bible teacher. They had great fellowship, and it's always good to have a mentor to teach the Word of God to you. But one day this man was studying the Scripture, and Charlie was nowhere around. He said, I wonder what that means. Boy, when Charlie comes, I'm going to ask Charlie what that means. And he felt the Holy Spirit whispering to him and said, why don't you ask me? I'm the one that taught Charlie. Oh, you can pray and say, Lord, teach me thy statutes, thy law, vitalize it, make it real. You see, prayerlessness is bad enough, but what prayerlessness indicates is even worse. It indicates that we're quite confident we can do it by ourselves. Now, you hide God's Word in your heart, but then you say, God, vitalize it. Make it real to me. I just don't want to be rattling off memory verses. Rattling off memory verses is not enough. Now, it's the principle of vitalization. Next principle is the principle of verbalization. Verbalization, keep the Word of God on your lips. Now, he speaks about the Word of God in your heart, but now he talks about the Word of God on your lips. Look in verse 13. With my lips have I declared all the judgment of thy mouth. Begin to verbalize it. You see, when you vitalize it, memorize it, vitalize it, then verbalize it, confession and profession are linked together. You take the Word of God and speak it out loud to God. You may sing it. Singing Scripture is one of the best things that you can do. To have the Word of God in your mouth, in your lips. Why is it? Because there is a symbiotic relationship. The Word of God goes from the heart to the mouth, out, and from the mouth back to the heart, and one builds upon another. When you begin to give the Word of God away, the Word of God sticks to you. Did you know that? Did you know that there is a kind of a secret that preachers have? It's a blessed secret. We get to preach the Bible. And you know, when we get to preach the Bible, something happens. It's just so wonderful. It's reflexive. You cannot study for a sermon, prepare, think, pray, and preach it without it just saturating you. That's just a trade secret. I find myself sometimes repeating passages of Scripture that I never even intended to memorize. And somehow just the very speaking of God's Word gives us force. You read in the book of the Revelation where the early Christians were at warfare with Satan. And the Bible says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Did you know that you can give your testimony, give it to other people? But not only give it to other people, give it to yourself. You can say, I belong to you, Lord Jesus, you're mine. Have you ever given your testimony to yourself? I give mine to me lots of times. I just say who I am in the Lord Jesus Christ and just speak it. But I tell you who else you can give your testimony to. You can give your testimony to the devil. You can. The next time Satan gets on your trail with some dirty thought, some foul thing, some temptation, you can say this to him. When your heart is clean, when you've done that purification, when you've done that determination, when you have done that fortification, when you have done that vitalization, then the devil gets on your trail. You say, devil, I want to tell you something. Your back was broken at Calvary. You are defeated. You are a pervert. You have no right in my life. You have no authority in my life. I belong to Jesus Christ. My body, heart, soul, mind is His. You're trespassing on my Father's property, and in the name of Jesus, be gone. Draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Learn to verbalize the Word of God. The principle of verbalization, verse 13. Verse 14, the principle of evaluation. Remember your true riches. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimony as much as in all riches. You see, you have to have an evaluation. Teach your boys and girls. Teach yourself what you're giving up. Who wants to give up diamonds for dirt? Who wants to eat swill when they can feed on manna and nectar? If we could only get people to think, there has to be a choice. There has to be an evaluation. You have to choose. You choose the true riches, and you're satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. A mind that is feeding on trash is a mind that's hungry. I've seen people eating out of garbage cans, literally. One of the most elegant upscale places in America. I saw a man, a young man, with his head way down in a garbage can, literally eating out of the garbage can. My heart broke. What would cause a man to eat out of a garbage can? Number one, hunger. Number two, no sense of shame. Why would a person put garbage in his mouth? Well, you say because he's hungry. Point. You don't have to be hungry. You can feed on Jesus. You can feed on. I don't have to be out in the back alley eating tin cans with the devil's billy goats. If I've just been feasting with the Lord Jesus Christ, if I see what I have in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. The principle of evaluation. Now, here's the final principle, and that's the principle of meditation. Maintain a constant communion with the Lord. Look now in verse 15, if you will. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Meditation is a powerful, powerful force to keep your mind pure. There are three elements in meditation: time, quietness, and concentration. If you will spend some time concentrating on the Word of God and thinking about it, it will do something wonderful for your thought life. The word meditate has two thoughts. One, as I've told you before, it has the thought of a cow chewing the cud. When a cow will go out there in the pasture and get that clover and that alfalfa and grass or whatever it is, and he digests it, and he has, I think, four stomachs, and he just somehow places it there, and then he'll go out to meditate. That is, he'll go out and lie down in the pasture somewhere, and his brain sends a message to his stomach and says, alfalfa, please. Up comes the alfalfa, and he or she will chew it, swallow it down, maybe clover, please, and chew that for a while and get the juice out of it, send it back down again. The Word of God is like that. You know, you get it in, you ingest it, then you digest it. You chew on it over and over and over and over again. I find myself going to bed thinking the Word of God, waking up the first thought in the morning thinking the Word of God. It's also like a tune you can't get out of your mind. You ever had a little tune you can't get out of your mind? It just gets in your mind. Whatever it is, it gets there. Well, get the Word of God in your mind. So you meditate on it day after day. Let me just give you a few verses in this same psalm. Psalm 119, verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Psalm 119, verse 23. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Psalm 119, verse 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. I will meditate in thy statutes. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Now, what I have done is taken one short passage of Scripture, and I have given you seven principles. Now listen to me. Take these seven principles, memorize them. If you're not a good note taker, you probably don't even have them all down yet. Get the tape. Listen over and over and over again. It'll be worth it. Put it into practice. Don't you be a hypocrite to try to teach your children something that you're not practicing. You get your heart right. Get your heart clean. You guard your heart so you can protect your home. Then you take your children. You walk your children through this thing. You say to them, look, you can be clean. You don't have to let the devil have a dirty groove in your mind, a rut in your mind. You can have that way cleansed. And then you go through the rest of the steps. And again, I remind you that God does business with those that mean business. Would you pray right now, dear God, teach me your statutes? Would you pray what the psalmist prayed? Lord, teach me. Lord, help me to know these things. Help me to take what the pastor said that is out of your word and, Lord, apply it to my heart. If you've been having difficulty in these matters, and a lot of fine people are fighting a real battle, tell God that you're having a battle, but you have determined with your whole heart to have victory. Now, if you don't make that kind of decision, you're going down. And even if you make that kind of decision, if you don't use God's methods, you're still not going to have victory. Father God, in the name of Jesus, seal this message to our hearts and help me and help us, Lord, that we might truly have victory in our thought life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, if you have questions regarding your faith in Jesus Christ, we want to offer an insightful resource on our website. It's called our Discover Jesus page. You'll find answers you may have about your faith. There's a response section where you can share with us how this message or others have impacted you, share a prayer request, and more. Go to lwf.org/radio and click the tab that says Discover Jesus at the top of the page. Again, lwf.org/radio and click Discover Jesus. We can't wait to hear from you. Now, if you'd like to order a CD of today's message in its entirety, you can request one by the title Guard Your Heart when you call to order at 1-877-LOVE-GOD, 1-877-568-3463. Now, this message is also part of a powerful series, Guard Your Heart, Protect Your Home. For the complete collection, all four insightful messages, call that number, 877-LOVE-GOD, or go online to lwf.org/radio. Or you can write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Thanks for joining us in our study on today's broadcast. Remember, as Adrian Rogers said, one of the greatest weapons against pornography is hiding God's Word in your heart. Meditate on Scripture today. And be sure to join us next time for another powerful lesson on how to guard your heart so that you may protect your home, right here on Love Worth Finding.
Faith is not receiving from God what you want. Faith is accepting from God what He gives.
Profound truth simply stated. We hear this often as people are exposed to the wit and wisdom of Adrian Rogers. In fact, here at Love Worth Finding, we've coined the term Adrianisms for some of the most impactful nuggets of truth that he gave. And now we're excited to tell you about our new Adrianisms card set. Created with original art and lettering, each of the 52 cards include an insightful Adrianism as well as an accompanying scripture on the reverse side. These cards are perfect to display in your home, your workspace, or you can share them with a family member or a friend. For more information about the product, go to our online store at lwf.org. And thank you for your continued support of Love Worth Finding.